Chapter 19. In a partitioned off section of a saloon, sat a man with a half dozen women, gleefully laughing, hovering about him. The man had arrived at that stage of drunkenness, where affection is felt for the universe. "I'm good fleur, girls," he said, convincingly. "I'm damn good fleur. Anybody treats me right, I allus treats them right. See?" The women nodded their heads approvingly. "Oh, be sure," they cried out in hearty chorus. "Oor the kind of a man we like, Pete. You're out of sight. What ye going to buy this time, dear?" "Anting yez wants, damn it," said the man in an abandonment of goodwill. His countenance shone with the true spirit of benevolence. He was in the proper mode of missionaries. He would have fraternized with obscure attendants. And above all, he was overwhelmed in tenderness for his friends, who were all illustrious. "Anting yez wants, damn it," repeated he, waving his hands with beneficent recklessness. "I'm good fleur, girls, and if anybody treats me right I hear, called he through an open door to a waiter, "bring girls drinks, damn it. What'll yez have, girls? Anting yez wants, damn it." The waiter glanced in with the disgusted look of the man who serves intoxicants for the man who takes too much of them. He nodded his head shortly at the order from each individual, and went. "Damn it," said the man, "we're having a luva time. I like you girls. Damn it if I don't. You're right sort. See?" He spoke at length and with feeling, concerning the excellencies of his assembled friends. "Don't try pull man's leg, but have a hell of a time. Da's right. Da's way to do. Now, if I saw yez try and work me for drinks, wouldn't buy damn ting. But ye're right sort, damn it. Yez know how to treat a fleur, and I stays by yez till spend loss a cent. Da's right. I'm good fleur, and I knows when anybody treats me right." Between the times of the arrival and departure of the waiter, the man discoursed to the women on the tender regard he felt for all living things. He laid stress upon the purity of his motives in all dealings with men in the world, and spoke of the fervor of his friendship for those who were amiable. Tears welled slowly from his eyes. His voice quavered when he spoke to them. Once when the waiter was about to depart with an empty tray, the man drew a coin from his pocket, and held it forth. "Here," said he, quite magnificently, "here's quor." The waiter kept his hands on his tray. "I don't want your money," he said. The other put forth the coin with tearful insistence. "Here, damn it," cried he, "tact. Yer damn goofler and I want yes tact. Come. Come now," said the waiter, with the sullen air of a man who is forced into giving advice. "Ut yer mon in yer pocket. Yer loaded and yez on makes a damn fool of yerself." As the latter passed out of the door, the man turned pathetically to the women. "He don't know I'm damn goofler," cried he, dismally. "Never you mind, Pete, dear," said a woman of brilliance and audacity, laying her hand with great affection upon his arm. "Never you mind, old boy. We'll stay by you, dear." "Da's right," cried the man, his face lighting up at the soothing tones of the woman's voice. "As right, I'm damn goofler and when anyone treats me right, I treats them right. She." "Sure," cried the women. "And we're not going back on you, old man." The man turned appealing eyes to the woman of brilliance and audacity. He felt that, if he could be convicted of a contemptible action he would die. "She, Nell, damn it, I allus trees yes square, didn't I? I allus been goofler why yes, ain't I, Nell?" "Sure you have, Pete," assented the woman. She delivered an oration to her companions. "Esser, that's a fact. Pete's a square fella, he is. He never goes back on a friend. He's the right kind, and we stay by him, don't we, girls?" "Sure," they exclaimed. Looking lovingly at him, they raised their glasses, and drank his health. "Girlsh," said the man, beseechingly, "I allus trees yes rye, didn't I? I'm goofler, ain't I, girlsh?" "Sure," again they chorused. "Well," said he finally, "let's have another drink, Zen." That's right. Hail day woman. That's right. Yer no bloomin' jay. Yer spends yer money like a man. That's right. The man pounded the table with his quivering fists. Yes, sir, he cried, with deep earnestness, as if someone disputed him. I'm damn goofler, and when anyone trees me rye, I allus trees las have nozzer drink. He began to beat the wood with his glass. Shay, howled he, growing suddenly impatient. As the waiter did not then come, the man swelled with wrath. Shay, howled he again. The waiter appeared at the door. Brinch, drinch, said the man. The waiter disappeared with the orders. That fleur damn fool, cried the man. He insult me. I'm gemmin. Can stand the insult. I'm goin' lick him when comes. No, no, cried the women, crowding about and trying to subdue him. He's all right. He didn't mean anything. Let it go. He's a good fella. Didn't he insult me? Asked the man earnestly. No, said they. Of course he didn't. He's all right. Sure he didn't insult me? Demanded the man, with deep anxiety in his voice. No, no. We know him. He's a good fella. He didn't mean anything. Well, then, said the man, resolutely, I'm go apologize. When the waiter came, the man struggled to the middle of the floor. Girl shed you insult me. I shay damn lie. I apologize. All right, said the waiter. The man sat down. He felt a sleepy but strong desire to straighten things out and have a perfect understanding with everybody. Nell, I allus trees ye square, didn't I? Ye likes me, don yes, Nell? I'm goofler? Sure, said the woman of brilliance and audacity. Ye knows I'm stuck on yes, don yes, Nell? Sure, she repeated, carelessly. Overwhelmed by a spasm of drunken adoration, he drew two or three bills from his pocket, and, with the trembling fingers of an offering priest, laid them on the table before the woman. Yes knows, damn it, yes kind of all got, cause I'm stuck on yes, Nell, damned, I'm stuck on yes, Nell by drinks damned we're having a luva time when anyone trees me rye I damned, Nell we're having a luva time. Shortly he went to sleep with his swollen face fallen forward on his chest. The women drank and laughed, not heeding the slumbering man in the corner. Finally he lurched forward, and fell groaning to the floor. The women screamed in disgust, and drew back their skirts. Come on, cried one, starting up angrily, let's get out of here. The woman of brilliance and audacity stayed behind, taking up the bills and stuffing them into a deep, irregularly shaped pocket. A guttural snore from the recumbent man caused her to turn, and look down at him. She laughed. Had a damn fool, she said, and went. The smoke from the lamp settled heavily down in the little compartment, obscuring the way out. The smell of oil, stifling in its intensity, pervaded the air. The wine from an overturned glass dripped softly down upon the blotches on the man's neck. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.